a world where geeking out never looked so good, two incredibly sexy men will rise for your auditory pleasure. Here's your hosts, Wancho and Vibe. Keeping up with the Geek Bros.
It's beautiful Wednesday. I'm over here singing my voice away. It's a beautiful night for episode 23. What's going on? What's going on, guys? This is Juancho.
Hey, hey now. This is Vibe.
And don't forget Kylo Sam.
Kylo Sam is in the building. This is our latest special guest here to talk about Star Wars The Last Jedi with us.
All right.
Coming up soon later.
I don't like how you guys are saying this, by the way.
Which part?
The Last Jedi. I don't like the tone. But anyways, go ahead.
It's a good tone. It's a good tone.
It's a wonderful tone. Wait, I have actually good stuff to say about The Last Jedi.
Well, I understand you have good stuff to say about it. But we'll get to that first. First, Juancho, how was your weekend?
My weekend was wonderful. I don't remember what I did. Oh, yes, I actually do remember. I saw The Last Jedi 3 times.
That is unfortunate.
That was a wonderful thing. I took my mom to the movies.
I mean,
I haven't taken mommy out in a long time.
That's because she had a problem being seen with you in public till recently. Ooh. But after you did your image reconstruction, a little bit of PR control, you're back on track. And I'm really proud of you. You've come a long way. His face. Okay.
Bye.
Well, yes.
You got issues.
Kylo Sam, your weekend. How was your weekend? Tell everybody what's going on.
Hey, what's up? I spent the entire time arguing with my father.
Sounds about right.
I was seen with my bare chest since Thursday. I've been told to work out more.
Don't we all need it?
But other than that, just surviving, try to keep wife happy, and that's basically it. And staying away from my dad too.
Sounds good. My weekend editing. I did see Star Wars The Last Jedi a second time.
I don't like how you're saying this one. I'm
just saying, I had to take the Theo Starr and Joey Fire, who, by the way, didn't like the movie either, by the way. I'm just throwing that out there without any coercion from me. They asked me what I thought about it. I said, watch it. Okay? You know, and those who are watching us next week or later on this week, you'll see that I'm wearing The Last Jedi t-shirt, not because I liked the movie, but because this... You know, Juancho bought me this shirt, and I have to reimburse him, which means I bought this shirt. I need to wear it, so that's the reason why. So, Juancho,
what's going on?
You tell me.
I don't know what's going on with the Geek Bros.
There you go. That's what
I was
going to
say, Geek Girls, but we don't know what's going on.
Okay,
with them.
Geek Girls news on hiatus. They will be back 2018.
Yes, they will.
Don't ask me about them again until 2018. You
exactly.
Hear me? Take it off the list.
Right.
I don't hear about them until 2018.
All right.
But in the Geek Bros, since the last time you guys heard us, there's been 6 Geek Bros videos released. Can you believe that?
Cool.
Yeah. We had the Jurassic World reaction video, which was pretty funny. We saw it.
You know that I actually didn't watch that trailer?
Really?
Which trailer?
The one that you posted out. See, Vibe made a video, makes videos sometimes, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not interested to rewatching it because I didn't find it funny.
Which video?
The Jurassic Park video that you posted. I haven't watched it, to be honest with you.
It's okay. I have. Okay, and I think 5,000 people watched it, so
maybe
I think
5,001 will watch it tonight.
Did you know that our Last Jedi reaction is 15,000 views?
Look at
now?
That, 50,000!
15,000 views! Okay, moving on. We also missed our countdown, 4-part countdown to The Last Jedi. Countdown part 1 was character predictions. Novel reviews was part 2. The Force Awakens Revisited, Homage versus Ripoff was part 3. And part 4 was Porgs, were they the new Jar Jar, if they had any point to them. Those are actually pretty good. You should check them out. Before, of course, Big 6, our Star Wars The Last Jedi review, which I am in it for a total of 90 seconds total.
Oh,
so
yes.
That tells you how much I feel about
the
that.
The Force was not strong with Vibe that day.
It's okay. And a random 7th video, I did a mashup. For those who watched Battlestar Galactica, if you watch Star Wars The Last Jedi, there's a part of it that kind of reminds you of the Cylons chasing the humans. I was kind of just like, ooh, yeah, that's great. So I spent an entire evening editing a random video that had nothing to do with the studio that I posted online. It's called Star Wars The Last Jedi Battlestar Galactica Intro. Check that out. It's a labor of love. Walter, did you look at it?
I did, and I'm still scratching my head as to why weren't you doing something more productive.
I agree. Kylo, Sam, you have to understand. Yeah. I spent 7.5 hours editing
that.
Whoa! I had to first...
When I saw that post this morning, I'm like, when did we do Battlestar Galactica? When did we film something? What's going on here? And I double-checked my log to see. I'm like, when did I meet with this guy? When did Darth Flex or Garbanzo meet with him? And then I looked at him, I'm like, he wasted 7 hours doing this.
7 hours.
He made me realize is those videos that you see on Facebook of people trying to do matchups to the 90s shows.
Exactly.
And I'm like, why is he doing this?
That's exactly what
bro,
I did.
Do you even life, bro?
You have to understand something. When I watch that scene, and I'm watching the First Order chase the Resistance, I'm like, this is the Cylons chasing the humans. It's exactly what this was. And I felt compelled. You understand me, Kylo Sam? Compelled.
Yeah,
okay.
I got you,
okay. Compelled to make this video.
You,
so I had to find the one of the intros to Battlestar Galactica, the reimagined sci-fi series, fantastic show, 4 seasons. Kylo Sam will be watching because he promised me on Hulu.
No, I got you.
I know that's right. And then I had to find matching clips from all the trailers that I could find and all the clips to find what would match and work well with it. And I think it came out pretty well. I screened it for Kylo Sam and he said, right on, my brother. And I said, all right, Zamunda. And we moved on.
Oh,
so,
that's
exactly. So, but yeah, by all means, check that out. That's six videos for Geek Bros and one just random video. Show me some love because I really put some heart and soul into that.
I'm going to give you some love.
Heart and soul. It looked really good. It was good to a beat. So, Juancho, what brings us here today?
So, this is a very special podcast because we're going to be having a lot of discussions today. So, the format's going to be a little bit different.
It's a pure open mic.
Yes, except for the first one where I have news, comic book world news.
Poetry, no?
Oh, surely, that's, surely.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, all right.
So, is this math or?
I do have comic book news out there with Marvel. As I said it last week, was it last week or the week before? Because we didn't do podcast last week. Okay. Marvel's comic book has a new press, the editor has a new president after the other one has been fired. Oh, was it left or fired? I don't remember correctly.
I told you to skip comic news.
They've made changes. And there's possible 5 series that are going to be canceled for 2018. So those I will be reading out very shortly. For open mic discussions, the only thing we're going to have is open mic. It's going to be net neutrality. Disney and Fox.
Disney buys Fox.
Animation invasion. Well, anime invasion.
It is an open mic. Kylo Sam. He actually pitched this to me while we were here pre-production.
Yeah,
very, very impressed. He's gonna do the anime invasion for us for Monster.
Yes.
Any quick hints you want to give the audience?
Well, it's a thriller. It will give you things to think about. It'll give you opportunity to look at yourself also as far as what you do in which circumstances. Looking forward to talk about it.
Fantastic. Yes. Actually, he broke it down a little bit for me, and the passion in this man's voice, I said, yes, we need to hear.
He gave the same passion to me when I read it. And I actually saw it, and I got hooked on it. It's really that good.
There's
no action. It's a drama, but it's so good.
Well, we're going to save that for the anime invasion. And lastly,
The Last Jedi.
It's going to be our review here for you guys.
I actually have comments from actually our fans and one fan and from the crew that have actually wrote back to us.
Look at that.
I will be reading those out. So
fantastic.
Live.
Okay.
Let's get this party started.
Let's get an open mic.
So comic book news. This article's comic book coming out from comicbook.com. Marvel cancels 5 series. Possibly more.
Watcher doesn't listen when I say shut your phone off during the recording.
Marvel Comics will cancel at least 5 ongoing series in early 2018 and possibly more as the publisher March solicitations have been revealed. Generation X, Hawkeye, Iceman, Jean Grey, and the unbelievable Gwenpool have all been confirmed as canceled.
Oh, wow.
And I quote, yeah, and some of you are guessing from the cover of issue number 16 will be our last issue of Hawkeye, tweeted writer Kelly Thompson. Obviously, I'm disappointed, but I'm really proud of our book. Number 16 issue is a solid number in the modern times, and there may be something interesting coming next. We will see. Iceman writer Cena Grace tweeted a handwritten note explaining the difficult situation reading. Yep. Iceman's coming to a close. I'm supremely bummed out, but was given plenty of notice and even a Hail Mary or two. Everyone at Marvel has been super supportive, but at the end of the day, solo X titles are hard to sell for retailers. So that makes sense. I do want to know about the reasoning behind this. The article I read it before doesn't explain the reasoning behind the cancellation, but something that caught my eye in this article was that the Mighty Captain Marvel was also believed to have been canceled since it was absence of the March solicitations, but writer Margaret Stoll assured fans that that was not the case. The reason why that's a shocking or kind of surprising is because, you know, next year we're supposed to be having our first Captain Marvel movie.
I see what you're saying.
If you're going to cancel the comic book, why would you pitch a, you know, why would we have a movie of Captain Marvel? Is the comic book not selling that good? Or
you would
what's
think
going
that,
on?
That they would beef it up with the comic book to put it in the forefront. Exactly. I mean, Kylo Sam, what do you...
No, same thing. Then you know what? It gets going and then it catches the momentum and bam, the movie comes out and everything Captain Marvel. That's what I would expect.
Interesting.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy was also confirmed as canceled recently, though the cancellation is making way for the Infinity Countdown series. So we'll see how that happens.
Something's going on.
Well, here's the thing. Remember how Bendis left Marvel.
To DC, right?
To DC. Uh-huh. Exclusive signed.
Ooh, Kylo Sam is up on the news.
No, that force. The force is within me.
Executive writer kicks the can. Marvel's getting ready to make some big changes for 2018. The comic books are going to be back. Now, like I said it earlier, Marvel has lost its touch ever since they have gotten their writer in 2011 with Civil War 2, which was very like,
It was forced.
Having Captain, well, you know, what can we do? It's comic books, they change. Hopefully Marvel can get their act together.
You sound defeated. You heard him? He was going to get it. He's like, man.
That was life living his
because you know Juancho hates comic books.
Juancho hates comic books.
So now I have
man.
To go.
But
to
you
go.
Heard it, though.
No, I heard
like,
yeah.
I thought it was red, and no. then he just
no, let's now Ben is leaving
if
to
this
DC.
If this was an anime, you would see something.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
now Juancho's gonna go and read DC. You know why? Because Juancho hates comic books. That's why.
That's it. That's our time for DC.
So, vibe. Let's do the thing.
Fantastic. So we're putting Kylo Sam on the spot right now. Dang. It's Anime Invasion Monster. We're gonna play the trailer in the background. I'm gonna turn it down a little bit while Kylo Sam breaks down the series and tells us why you should be watching this feature movie or series.
It's a series.
It's a series.
Yes.
Why you should be watching this series. So, The world is yours, Kylo Sam. Bring it up with
him. Now, as this is playing, we're basically watching Tenma. The series takes place in the 80s, basically. Henceforth, the drawer. This was a critically acclaimed series, a manga before, and then it got into a series. Now, basically, picture yourself as an Asian doctor who went to study in Germany.
Okay.
Now, of course, you're already behind the eight ball because you're among the Germans, but he excels to the point that the main doctor who owns the hospital wants him to have to marry his own daughter.
Oh, okay.
So there's status, and we're seeing her right now and him. So everything is going well for Tenma.
I'm seeing a lot of blood splatters in this trailer.
A lot of mystery, there will be a lot of death. Now, let me explain to you the premise of this, and after which I would leave you with Tenma's situation. Tenma is so good that whoever he operates on, he basically gets to decide who lives and who doesn't. Now,
wow.
One particular night, two people come into the hospital. A young man with a bullet in his head. I said young, a child, basically.
Okay.
And a very well-known politician. Now, the head doctor wants him to operate on...
the politician.
Most definitely because of the political ties. However...
He operates on the child.
Exactly. Now, what would you have done?
The child? I mean, no?
It gets more deeper than that.
Okay,
bro.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
So now... okay, so Tenma operates, of course, what we would have done as being a very ethical man, by the way.
Of course.
We see him always struggling between his duty and what he wants to accomplish and not being sucked, I guess, on the dark side also.
Oh, man, because medicine is a business as well.
Most definitely. So, and imagine also a man of his talent and the exposure that he has also, knowing that he can get to marry the daughter of this man and get his own hospital and basically make a big name for himself. But at what cost?
Right.
However, that night, I can tell you that Tenma chose the wrong patients to operate on.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That is and ominous.
That's where the story takes place, because now you see why it was the wrong thing and why he should have let the politician live. Not because of the way he starts going down society, down like he loses everything. There's more to it.
Yes.
There's a backstory as to why the child was shot.
Are you trying to... Okay. So you were trying to tell me that they're trying to justify why he should have let a child die? Is that what we're trying to say here?
Monster.
Yes.
Let me just... I will just say this. Yeah. He saved the monster. Now, the series is... With what I'm describing, you would think it's a short series. It's right. 74 episodes. It's quite long.
Wow, what?
Yeah. But...
That's a heck of a thing to be dragging out.
I have found myself in Tenma's shoes... being responsible for saving that monster once you start to understand who that monster is. And it's a monster for real.
Wow.
I would leave it as that. There's comedy at times.
Okay.
There's a lot of thriller. There's tragic things. There's also a big historical part of this. It's happening in Germany, late 80s, going back to even certain things that, going back to what Hitler was doing also with certain kids.
Oh,
so you have a certain
Hitler's
amount.
Youth. Okay,
almost
okay.
Almost definitely. So there's a tie in different things. There's elements of racism in there as well, prejudice.
Social commentary, interesting.
Most definitely. And also the personal struggle of Tenma for feeling responsible for basically having giving a second life to a monster. Because there was a particular reason why that particular boy had a bullet in his head that night.
Wow.
Because when the police walked in, the person who was holding the gun was his twin sister. And I leave you as that.
Ooh. Wow.
And that's Monster.
Wow. Before we move on, I have just one question. Now, the animation style is, as you said, more in the 80s way, and it's kind of the old way anime. It was before the staple big wide eyes and pointy nose that you see now in anime. It's back to like original animation. It kind of reminds me of Mobile Suit Gundam and something like that back in the day. So it doesn't take you out of the show that this is a more of a modern anime, but it's animated back in the 80s and when didn't have that staple of their animation style.
It personally doesn't, and Juancho here has already started seeing some of it. Once you put it into the historical context of what it's trying to portray, so the anime itself was early 2000, I think.
Exactly.
Early 2000. But it really puts you into the context of...
It does. I even asked you when you first showed it to me. I said, this is an old anime. He's like, no, this is very recent. I said, really?
Yeah.
I said, their animation style choice is very interesting.
Now, here's the thing. The animation style choice of this anime, if correct me if I'm wrong, Kylo-Sam, is the same as Death Note.
Yes.
And Death Note, is it?
Yes.
Death Note
kind of looks.
The Death Note anime has the same similar. There's no big eyes. A lot of the anime that this kind of drama portrays.
No, but they still have the pointy nose.
Yeah,
but this doesn't. You saw noses that are rounded, or it looked like an animation. It screamed more of like a Western, than it did of anime.
Yeah, but if you see Vibe, they also are trying to portray European. So it's a Japanese
which
take
makes sense,
on Europeans.
Which is brilliant.
The big, thick eyebrows at times.
Right.
Normally you don't see
You see actual features on the noses. Mm-hmm. Usually in anime, the noses either don't exist or they're pointy.
Well, like Kylo-san said, they're portraying a current situation where the
I'm not critiquing it. I just was wondering whether it took you out of it. But you said it didn't at all.
Not even close.
The one thing I will say is this. The first two episodes, it definitely has to set up for you who Tenma is.
You did say it was a slow burn.
So if you're looking forward to something that will just scintillate, blow your mind right away, then this is not for you.
Okay.
However, if you want to basically get something that's going to keep you going, because I found at times... watching five episodes one day, because once you end on a note like,
and you need to see more. So you watch, see your eyes burn. And you
almost
go to
definitely.
Interesting. All right. Well, there you have it. Kylo-Sam gives it a 2 thumbs up for Monster.
If I could put a toe in there, I would as well.
A toe in there. Juancho kind of backs him up. And I'm curious. I will say that I might actually check this out. I thought it was a feature film. I didn't know it was 74
episodes. 74
episodes. I don't know.
And it kept me in there.
Okay. But that's fantastic. Before we move on, I do have to play this clip. And it is going to be a dire note. We're going from something really awesome to something a little more more serious. We're going to be talking about net neutrality and the fact
that... Should we give our disclaimer?
That it passed.
We're not representing any party or anything like that. These are the opinions.
We never did this disclaimer. Views and opinions expressed during this segment are, do not represent that of Geek Bros, Five Revolution Studios, Kylo Sam, or any affiliates. Yeah. There you go. Is that what you want to hear?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
The only party I do is the one that I dance at.
Exactly. So we're going to hear, we have, it's called Suing the FCC. Listen out.
Today the FCC broke a basic promise. They ended equal and open access to the internet, also known as net neutrality. Your internet could be slower and more expensive. Companies will get to charge you more to access popular sites. Small businesses, you're going to have a harder time competing. And students, you could lose access to online learning and videos. That's why in recent months, millions of you spoke up on behalf of internet freedom. But the FCC ignored you while accepting 2 million fake comments. That's just wrong, and it's illegal. And that's why today I'm joining a coalition of states in announcing that Massachusetts will sue to protect your right to go online and to protect your wallet. And we need your help. Please share this video.
This is on
and
Facebook.
Let the FCC know that an open internet matters to you. Thank you.
This is Attorney General Mara Hiley.
Yes, the Office of Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Mm. If you go to Defending Net Neutrality, it's a group on Facebook. That's where the video is. Now, understand, we're going to repeat again, net neutrality. Net neutrality is the principle that internet service providers must treat all data on the internet as the same. Ah, it's so small. I'm going to bring this up. Okay. They cannot discriminate or change differently by user, content, website, platform, application, type of attached equipment, or method of communication. For instance, under these principles, internet service providers, or ISPs, are unable to intentionally block, slow down, or change... charge money for specific websites or online content. Basically, it allows you to go and see whatever you want without any extra charges, surf fees, special treatment, anything. It gives a mom-and-pop company just as much a chance of being found as a corporation on the internet. With the fact that this is passed on, unfortunately, net neutrality has been repealed. This bill has been repealed now, and the effect is going to be catastrophic in the future if we don't say something right now. Juancho.
Yes.
Fantastic. Kylo Sam, now you...
I thought you were going to ask me a question.
No, I was saying, I just made my little speech. I don't know if you wanted to chime in.
Oh, yeah, no. You know...
He just said yes. I was like, that was okay.
I thought you were going to ask me a question. Well, with net neutrality, I know, like, for example, Verizon, Comcast, AT&T, you know, they made a statement about it. But their statement was very... not to the point where the customer felt like they were not going to be doing what net neutrality...
Right.
Prevents them from doing. It's kind of weird because remember this bill took place in 2011 during the Obama administration.
Yes.
Oh, it did. Okay.
So, well, how was the internet in 2008, 2000? I wasn't a big surfer of the internet. Only thing I did was play World of Warcraft during those times.
Right.
So I really didn't surf the internet or did much of it. The latency and the speed of the internet really didn't... I didn't really see an effect on it.
Right.
So I'm curious to know now how good... Now that I know what the internet is, what I'm paying for it, and
right.
the speed that I'm expecting for all my websites, how is that going to change? So I'm very curious.
It's going to change. I mean, that's obvious because you're going to favor, let's say, Hulu. You know, Hulu now has a contract with, what, was it AT&T or something like that? And then Netflix is with T-Mobile. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Those are going to run faster. Why? Because you have a common interest in it.
Yes.
And kind of like how most recently, I think one of the companies pulled something like Amazon. I believe Amazon was not
too thrilled.
No. Amazon wasn't properly promoting the Google Home Mini thing. And so they said, you know what? You're doing this to us. We're going to pull it off of us, and we're going to pull off... now the Fire Sticks can't use Chromecast anymore. Forget it.
Oh, wow, really?
Because you guys are now using... Because since you guys are now using... You're promoting your own Fire Sticks over our Chromecast. They were not being... Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't come up. Maybe you'd see 10, 20 Fire Sticks, then maybe a Chromecast right there. So stuff like that. They're going to favor those, or you're gonna have websites of corporations saying, "Hey, listen, you know, just give us a little more, you know, an incentive, and go to us and block certain things," and you will never even know mm-hmm. that you're what you're missing. You can't complain about what you're not missing. Yep. Hello, Sam. Now you didn't know much about net neutrality until we discussed it right now. Now you read the video, you heard the description. As some of our listeners who are unfamiliar, you are a good speaking box about how you feel about this right now. How does this make you feel?
I'm concerned. Concerned because the internet is a place where mom and pop businesses, as you mentioned, have a way to make their product, and you can have the guy next to the corner.
Right, the sky's the limit.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, making great pies, making great hot dogs, whatever. This was an opportunity for you to put your product out there and to make it known. Now there's less opportunity to be given to those who
exactly.
have a great product.
So what if mom and pop has a cherry pie that is the ish and it's fantastic, it's getting out there. Mm-hmm. Betty Crocker though says like, nah, you know, let's say pay a little extra, then the search disappears.
Exactly.
And you don't get out there. Mm-hmm. You know, more personally, Vibe Revelation Studios is an independent freelance video production studio. You're listening to us right now.
Okay.
And it's already hard enough for me to break into the network as
okay,
it is,
yeah.
Let alone knowing that those companies that are more established are going to squeeze me out of the search. And I spend a lot of time on SEO, search engine optimization, just for network neutrality to say, listen, you know, there's a good chance you're not going to be found ever again at all. So,
and I would add one more thing also.
By all means.
It was mentioned as well for students. Basically being able to find information, videos, tutorials. One of the thing that I appreciate with the internet itself, being a musician, a guitar player, I play some classical, to see how you can find tutorials.
Did you guys hear that shameless plug?
Yes.
You repeat that again? Okay, you we're letting it go. And it's mistake. Okay, so we're back.
No, Mozart.
Mozart.
But, you know, you do find a lot of things. A lot of things have become more available, or you can do it better by looking at a video and go, oh, okay, I'm able to do this.
Of course.
So the amount of information, valuable information,
and the
for
resources,
students,
yes.
Exactly. And the scarier part to me is to be able to control what is out there.
So potential censorship. Thank you so much for saying
that.
I was waiting for somebody to say it. That's obvious. Potential censorship.
Let me read this article that just came out from The Verge. I'm reading this from The Verge. I haven't done the credibility for the sources, but it says Comcast just gave its employees $1,000 bonus because net neutrality is dead. That's what the title says.
Oh, wow.
This is by Nick Stott from The Verge. The statement says here, based on the passage of the tax reform and the FCC action on broadband, Brian L. Roberts, chairman of the CEO of Comcast, NBC Universal, announced that the company will award $1,000 bonus to the more than 100,000 eligible frontline and non-executive employees.
What are they celebrating? I mean, really now?
Here's another one from AT&T. Comcast says its plans to spend its excess $50 billion over the next 5 years investing in infrastructure and building out physical broadband plants and funding entertainment ventures in TV and film. The news coincides with AT&T's similar announcement today that it plans to give 200,000 employees $1,000 bonus each in response to, well, this talks about the tax reform, so I really don't know how much, you know, a lot of, and this is one of my problems.
Okay, no, that's
a little bit different from tax reform when we're talking about neutrality, so yeah. I apologize about that.
Okay.
But the coincidence?
They're giving bonuses, potentially rewarding. Listen, our day job does give bonuses, but it's when you meet a quota, when you've done something to earn it. What are they saying they've done to earn the bonus for losing net neutrality? Now you're looking at a little deeper layer because what?
You're going somewhere there, man.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is where we get into censorship, potential censorship. And it's not potential. It is written on the wall that censorship will exist. And just like how some companies don't have certain channels, you go to a different thing. You might have to go to a different provider just to get a certain
mm-hmm.
section of the internet
that you need. Yeah.
That's a problem. Or what if? Let's be reasonable. What if the big ISP providers just say, "Listen, let's divide the internet into chunks.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have one chunk. I'll have one chunk. You'll have one chunk. You know, so you'll have the sports. You'll have the news. You'll have the social media, and you can have. And what are you going to do? You know, and that's how they don't compete with each other, or how they. So it's. It's something. When I heard that it passed, I thought it was not going to pass. I'm sorry.
I thought it was the same thing too.
There was no way that this was going to be repealed. There was no way. It didn't make any sense. I didn't see what purpose repealing this would have done. He's like, okay, deregulation. I don't see how this is hurting the bottom line. I really don't.
No.
But what I think it is doing is increasing the bottom line. It allows them to now just get extra fees. I'm telling you, we're going to start seeing these extra fees.
Oh, great. You know,
and maybe you won't even know them.
Like a Comcast bill is high enough.
Let's say, you know, you're going to kind of like how they kind of used to be like long distance fees, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day. And you'd only know after you dialed. So what if a portion of the internet, they'll charge long distance fees. What if I want to go to Amazon for Canada, for whatever reason, their website, I'm going to be charged a long distance fee now. Okay. It's potential. Anything is possible. And these fees are just going to show up out of nowhere, and we're not even going to know what they are. Service fee. Yeah. Service fee. Net neutrality fee. It's unfortunate. And all I can say is, and what I said the last podcast, and we have yet to do an in-depth video about it. I'm working on it because this has to be very... This won't be funny. I'm sorry. Yeah. It'll be a Geek Bros like call to action. I'm talking with Wancho about it. We're going to work on it. But you need to call your congressman and or your governor or your senator, and you need to get on this, and you need to back Massachusetts suing the FCC. I'm going to keep following this story, and I'm going to do whatever I can with my skills to assist to make sure that we get this heard. I have not necessarily ever been an advocate. Now, of course, you guys know that I'm a very controversial individual.
You are.
There's a lot of things I like to talk about.
Controversial, man.
Exactly. But I don't ever act on most of it. Why? Because, you know, I've got an image.
When you mess with the internet, you mess with the world.
When you mess with something that's core and fundamental to our civil rights, even, you know, to the Bill of Rights, to our ability to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, whatever, just pure potential of censorship, it always begins. It's a starting point. It's a flashpoint. You get away with this, they try a little something else. They get away with that, try a little something else. And I don't want to be in my 60s saying, I remember when YouTube was free and I made these videos with this guy. I forget his name. He's unimportant. You know? So I mean, I'm laughing about it, guys, but you need, it's a call to action. Get out there, and you need to help to fight back against repealing net neutrality. Want your final words?
Guys, in all serious notes, let's get out there and voice. I know even though the vote's still passed, there's still time for
Nothing is set in stone.
There's still time for the Supreme Court to rule or be able to help out as well.
It's got to be unconstitutional somehow. Kylo, Sam, well, final thoughts.
I didn't know anything about it, so please find information. Information is power.
That's it. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. What is next on the block?
Disney.
All right, so I didn't even really care too much about it because kind of Disney overshadowed net neutrality. And here's my thing, controversial person, I believe this was a smokescreen because as this was happening, parallel
there was a voting going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It happened at the same time.
Yeah, the same time.
This happened at the same time. So everybody was focused on Disney, and then that neutrality thing was able to squeeze by. I was following it.
No.
That's why I didn't care. So, yes, Disney buys Fox. Nobody cares.
This is how I start. this is how I'm going to start a Disney buys Fox. Disney cancels their plan with Netflix. Why? And I knew they were up to something when they canceled it, because they're just not going to cancel a good deal they have with Netflix. This wasn't about their brand new net streaming.
That's what I was going
to
say.
This was about purchasing Fox, 21st Century Fox, and getting the rights to Hulu.
Ooh. Because they own stocks in Hulu.
They're getting ready for the streaming Fox service, so they're going to go after Hulu, change it and make it the Disney, the whole Disney streaming service are getting ready.
Hulu, presented by Disney.
Similar. Wow. This is just my theory about why.
Look at Wancho getting controversial up in this bug.
Yes, I'm excited for Disney buying 21st Century Fox because we're going to acquire exactly. I'm the fanboy. I'm excited. Now, I am nervous to certain shows. For example, The Simpsons, which they've been running for about 30 seasons.
Just let it die.
They've been struggling this past year, and they still have their contract, I think, till 2020 or 2019. I'm scared that Disney might not renew their contract because this is all about making money. If they're not making money with The Simpsons, they're going to kick the can. Now, the funny part is, Universal Studios in Orlando...
Getting the shaft.
They lost Marvel.
Getting the shaft.
The Simpsons Land was just recently opened about 2 years ago.
True.
So all these lands that the Universal Studios
like we don't know what how the Connors were with that, but they got gutted.
Pretty much.
You know what we're talking about. They have a Marvel Comics area and they have a Simpsons anime. That's like what a quarter of their park.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. The response to Universal, supposedly it's supposed to be a Super Mario or Nintendo Land, which will take place. I don't know where, but.
Where the Marvel stuff was.
Universal. What are your plans? Do you have any backup? Do you have any, like,
you know what, if you
ammo for this? Because
Mario will close. That's what Wolverine was.
Disney is coming up with, like, they're taking over the world. There was a funny post that I posted on Facebook. I keep going while I pull it up.
I don't even want to talk about this. This is not even important to me. Kylo Sam.
Yes.
He was just in his smile. Yes. How do you feel about the Disney acquiring Fox?
I mean, if
I need you to ask him too. There's the fanboy response, and then there's the oh my god response. Where do you land on it? I'm oh my god. And oh my god is a bad thing, not a good thing.
Oh, okay, all right. I was gonna say, well, I'm closer to you.
Exactly. Because like the threat of monopoly and monopolizing our entertainment, that's where I'm at.
Hmm?
Now, is everybody... And all
because
now,
if I can say, please. Through entertainment, you can pass a lot of ideas at the same time.
Of course you can.
Because that's when you model
Disney
someone.
Has an agenda. We know Disney has an agenda.
Here's the thing that I read. 2009, Disney buys Marvel. 2012, Disney buys Lucasfilms. 2017, Disney buys 21st Century Fox.
Hmm.
2019... Disney buys Paramount Pictures. 2022, Disney buys Universal Studios. 2027, Disney attempts to buy Warner Brothers, but Warner Brothers tells them to fuck off.
Oh, wow.
2028, Disney, being highly pissed off, acquires their own private military. 2029, Disney storms the headquarters of Warner Brothers, killing many and taking the company by force. 2032, Disney buys nukes and black markets terrorists. 2034, Disney buys Microsoft.
Oh.
2036, Disney declares war against the entertainment industry. 2037, skirmishes between private militaries occur in Hollywood and other places around the country. 2038, Disney nukes Hollywood.
Oh.
2044, Disney buys the United States of America. Disney 2045, Disney reorganizes the American government in a totalitarian dictatorship deemed the People's Republic of Disney. 2047,
The
Republic of Disney moves to annex Mexico and Canada with the military might of Mickey Mouse. 2051, PRD buys celestial bodies such as the Moon and Mars.
Yep.
2056, PRD colonizes Mars. 2059,
PRD is the People's Republic of Disney, by the way.
PRD colonizes the rest of the solar system. 2064, PRD starts construction of the Dyson Sphere in
Dyson
the solar system. 2075, PRD scientists discovered the FTL space travel.
FTL is faster than light.
Faster than light.
Yes, but that's what they use.
2078,
shut up.
First PRD voyage to Alpha Centauri system is successfully completed. 2079, PRD successfully established a one-world government.
Look out.
2080, PRD sends millions of military warships out through the galaxy, conquering extraterrestrial life on every planet and solar system. You saw how I read that? Extraterrestrial?
Yeah.
2092, Dyson Sphere in a solar system is complete. 2100, I'm already dead by that.
Exactly.
PRD reaches type 3 civilization status, creating a galactic dictatorship under the People of Disney. 2004, Marvel and X-Men fans are still excited about new movies.
See? That is the epitome of what I'm talking about. Is that these fanboys are looking at the bigger picture. I get it. Fox may now be able to now... all the characters minus whoever's missing, Sony, of course, can come back now and join Marvel.
Yeah.
Yay! That's not the point! We're doing fine with where we are.
The only thing that they weren't about to acquire... the article here says this story previously stated that Fox sold the rights to Futurama to Sci-Fi earlier this year. However, the arrangement is non-exclusive and only applies to the broadcast outside of Fox. We've edited this article to reflect this. So they made changes to the article.
They're not going
to
bring Futurama back. I mean, it's a great show, but they're not bringing it back. But the reality is that as great as this is for you fanboys out there, you've got to take a step back, breathe, and realize that this is a potential monopoly.
Oh, no.
And it's not good. It squeezes out the diversity of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
It has a potential for abuse. And agendas can be pushed through.
I understand that. But as well, And what I liked about this, that Bob Iger has stated that...
Bob Iger stated that...
Disney and R-rated films, they don't go hand-in-hand. But they actually stated that they will keep R-rated films...
Well, because they're still going to keep things.
As long as we tell the audience what's coming. So they're not just going to make an R-rated film and not tell the audience, oh, you're going to expect. No, they're going to be telling the audience, this is what you're going to expect. It's an R-rated film.
Well, no, I mean, they're not going to do anything like that because just because they bought Marvel, I don't see no Disney logo appears before the Marvel movies. No. The same, there's no Disney logo that appears before Lucasfilm. But do you know on the back end, this is a subsidy of Disney now. So, of course, anything that's going to be R-rated, you know, it's not going to say, the you know, Wonderful World of Disney. It'll be at the end of the credits, logo. So that's not going to change. I'm not concerned about, look... Let's give down a brass tacks, okay? Stop texting while we are doing. You tell me all the time I can't use my phone while we're podcasting. I haven't touched my phone once. Okay, so what we have to really get down to brass tacks, censorship. This is not looking good for the future. We have net neutrality, potential censorship, and internet monopolization. Now we've got Disney acquiring more. That's Marvel, Lucasfilm, and now Fox. That's huge. And in a very small span of time, by the way. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's like, in war, what is that? I don't know what it's called. You know, when you start acquiring territory, you're an aggressive, but you're seen as an aggressive nation.
Yeah.
What Disney seems like is an aggressive entertainment company now. I think
with all the money that they're making with Marvel and Lucasfilm, they don't know what to do with all the money. Hey, Disney, send me a couple bucks.
No, it's all about money. They want more money, more and more and more money, more and more and more power. But the simple fact of the matter is that the potential for a disastrous decline in creativity and product is there, and it is immediate. Hmm? Okay?
Because if you don't fit their mold, imagine you come up with a groundbreaking idea for something new.
Exactly.
But you don't feel the fit our mold, Jason, so yeah. Yeah. It's a nice script. But
or even better, it's a nice script, but we're going to do all these changes.
You know when I thought that they were going to buy 21st Century Fox? You know how Disney owns ABC. You know their ESPN programming, their sports entertainment network has not been doing too good recently. Their CEO got, you know, he was fired or he quit? I think he resigned. No, he resigned. Yeah. They've been struggling. So I thought maybe, you know, they're going to probably get Fox Network, the sports. This has nothing to do with the sports. This is strictly only for the entertainment part of Fox. Perfect. Not to do with the sports. So if those who think, oh, you know, Fox and ESPN will still be ESPN.
Disney presents ESPN.
ESPN lost a lot of the games for college football. A lot of the games are played on Fox TV.
Well, you know that for a fact that I don't follow sports whatsoever, unless you, Darflex, drag me out to something. And then
Darflex doesn't watch football.
Only UFC then? Okay. Yeah. Well, fantastic. And you are the absolute opposite of what I would think of a man that watches football, or a man in general. So it's just, you know.
And you're a boy.
That's okay, but I'm still a man.
Oh, you're a porg.
I'm your porg.
Good damn right.
I see a disturbance here. I do.
In the forest.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, agendas aside, I mean, I don't know, guys. I'm asking the fanboy community, especially the Marvel fanboy community, please stop for a minute, think critically, and instead of supporting this, realize that the abuse and misuse of all this is potential. And I don't want to be applauding them going further, acquiring more entertainment. We want diversity. We want new things. We don't want remakes, reboots, sequels.
The law. There's laws to prevent any big monopolization.
Yes.
Because, for example, T-Mobile and I think it was airlines. There was an airline that we were trying to merge. Uh-huh. Couldn't, because they would not be able to be competitive. So I think as long as they don't mess with the market,
not necessarily. There's a monopoly. We have a monopoly right now. FPL is monopoly.
Oh, because it's the only electrical power plant in Florida. But that's besides, by whom?
By whom? You know what I'm saying? All you have to do then is break it. Then what they would do is they break FPL up into two or three companies.
There you go.
And then you still have the infrastructure.
There's ways around it.
FPL is that's the Florida Light and Power. That's Florida's South Florida's.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Florida. All Florida.
All of Florida.
Yeah.
All of Florida's electrical company. I don't think so. But okay.
I think
no, they do. I think it's Florida.
Is all Florida? Okay, that's fine. They're the only. Con Ed is up there, isn't there? Is Con Edison anymore?
But for
the point of the matter is that monopolies do exist.
They give us power.
They do exist.
That's how we're able to record today.
We have a problem.
Thank you, FPL.
That's the point. I'm not saying anything wrong with FPL, but I'm just saying that monopolies do exist.
No, I know.
The municipal utilities, most of them are monopolies.
But they still get away. Yes, consider, but they still get away with it. I don't know how.
And that's my point. Yeah. So if they can get away with it, Disney can get away with it.
There are legal monopolies.
There's ways. Disney will get away from it. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, and speaking of Disney, Lucasfilm's latest Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So Star Wars.
I actually have...
The Last Jedi.
I do have some stuff from our fan. Our fan here, El Profe.
Okay, I'll let you... I'll let you read the fan responses first. Then you're going to give your review. I will. I'll have Kylo Sam do it, and then I'm going to give you my 9-point bullets review. Okay.
So here's the thing. Here's from El Profe. Considering how I felt about The Last Jedi is tough. Johnson, and I quote, Johnson's vision for his film works because... he challenged and usurps our expectations of the characters and how the plot should flow. Okay. In the first 10 minutes, when we see Luke's reaction to being handed his old lightsaber, we see as an audience are told what to expect from the film. In challenging our expectations, we as an audience are forced to reflect and evaluate those expectations as individuals and as a fandom.
Who is this?
This is El Profe.
I don't know who that is, but wow, that's a really well written.
A prophet knows English. I think
he knows English. What does that mean? I'm saying it's a really well written. It's a very well written. It's like a professional critique. Oh, okay.
He teaches English. That's what
I'm saying. That was a really well.
Now we go to Darth.
I didn't like the movie. Now I feel bad.
This is Darth Flexus.
Oh, look out!
I liked it because it's Star Wars. It's my childhood. Mm. I'm not there to look at it through the eyes of a skeptic or a critic. Just enjoy Star Wars and the university in the universe, Darth Flex American, and the universe it has brought to me. I love to continue my favorite stories. It could have been all puppets, and I would have loved it. And Vibe is a grumpy cat with a receding hairline.
My hairline is not receding. That's just one. Not even close. Thinning, maybe. No, wait, stop. But no. That is the epitome of an opinion of a true fanboy with no critical thinking skills. Bam.
Okay. Lewis.
Garbanzo.
Where'd he go? Garbanzo said. What the heck?
Garbanzo said, I like it a lot. Moving on.
Garbanzo says, overall, the movie was amazing. But I still want to know who are the Knights of Ren. We all do, Garbanzo. We all do. Why did they make Phasma into the new Boba Fett? I don't know, Garbanzo. I still need to watch it again to make my final decision. But the universe is torn right now. This is the quote from my best friend, Eric. So, there's a conversation between him and Eric. It says, you know, there's one more. Right. What are you talking about? That was clearly the Return of the Jedi. Rebellion on the Frist. Yoda's a ghost. The Sith Lords can be redeemed. A bad guy was thrown down an electrical blue tube. A Jedi faded into the Force. A weird cute plush toy made it on screen. A giant command ship went down and Sith Master bit the dust at the hands of his apprentice. Don't you start. What movie were you watching? Dude, actually scenes were lifted and followed from The Return of the Jedi. Of course, I like this movie because it was a remake of the Return of the Jedi.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. So we're going to go round robin. Juancho, we saw Star Wars The Last Jedi early opening night, 6 o'clock, which was a disaster for us to get there. We sat next to each other, okay? We were wearing matching shirts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the same shows we have here. The same shows that we have here is actually in the review
as
well.
Don't say that ever again. Okay. Because from my perspective, that doesn't sound good.
We wear matching shirts every time we go to the movies.
Yes.
It's a Geek Bros tradition. You were around when we did that.
Yeah, you were.
Okay.
I'm on camera, guys.
Okay. Oh, he's a little bit squeamish about it. But off camera, okay, Kylo Sam is like, where's my shirt?
So, I enjoyed the movie a lot.
That's unfortunate.
You know what? Is this how you're going to be the whole time I'm giving my
I'm sorry.
I saw the movie twice. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh, you know, so amazing. The second time I saw the movie, actually taking down and looking at his story, it was great. Yes, I can nitpick certain parts of the movie, but the movie overall to me was great. I enjoyed the character development for all four of the main characters. I did like what they did with Kylo Ren. He's not whiny anymore. He feel like now he can take the Force.
Awesome.
I wasn't. Oh, very, very. You guys know here that I'm a Sith supporter. I guess you will say that. I like the Sith a lot.
There's no Sith in this movie.
No, hold on. But I'm the Empire. I guess the Empire as whole. Then I was like, you know what? The First Order, I didn't really enjoy as much because it felt a little ruthless. But after Kylo taking over reigns, I loved it. I'm really enjoying.
What changed? Nothing changed between Kylo and Snoke.
I felt there was a change.
Leave
me alone.
I want you to give me an example. What was the change? No, because you said that there was a change between Snoke and Kylo. Had him for 30 minutes.
But you see the change. Now Kylo has more authority.
You said the First Order changed when Kylo
they did.
Took how?
They became more brutless, more heartless. They're like,
really?
Yeah, I felt you can see it.
They slaughtered a village in the first movie.
But
the seventh movie, the original look.
Okay,
let me continue. I did enjoy Finn.
See what happens when I have these fanboys think critically about what they're saying?
I enjoy Finn. Finn's character development was awesome. He continued being the same character. They didn't try to make him into a hero or anything like that.
So that's not development. That's consistency.
Development for me. Okay. I love Rose, the mechanic. Cute girl. Very, very awesome. I love the Benicio del Toro's character. Amazing role. I can't wait to see
like
that.
Did it? Yeah. You liked it?
I loved it.
Oh my god!
It was amazing. I love the porks. Who doesn't love porks? Porks life matter. Chewie, we got problems for that. I love the porks. Overall, the story was great. I do can nitpick a little bit things. For example, the thing that I'm still scratching my head about was the whole what is it called? The lady with the umbrella.
Yes, the whole movie.
No, the umbrella.
Right, there was the whole movie.
Mary Poppins scene with Leia. I loved it, but I didn't love it.
Mary Poppins scene, but okay.
It was, because she's like floating through the air.
That's more like it was more of like a Superman, or I'll even let you say Red Tornado, but not Mary Poppins. But cool stuff, carry on.
Yes. As I continued before, I was really interrupted. I didn't enjoy Snoke's death. I felt that...
Did we say spoilers?
Oh, spoilers! I'll write it in the comments. If you haven't watched the movie then, you're not part of the 22 billion so far that we've made.
Nobody cares.
222 million.
Nobody cares.
Anyway, second grossing opening movie of all time right now. So, the movie was good.
I'd rather
I enjoyed
see Titanic.
It a lot.
What? Okay.
The other thing that I actually enjoyed a lot was Kanto. Kanto was a beautiful city. Listen, I have nothing really much bad to say other than Snoke's death. And I wish they could have given more time to Phasma.
So you're saying is that you turned your brain off and that it allowed you to enjoy the movie as a whole.
No.
Because what nothing you said
are
made
you,
any coherent
are you,
sense at all.
Are you the
all.
Same fan that didn't like Episode 1?
What?
Star
yeah,
Wars.
Yeah, yep, I did yeah. not like, I didn't I, like Episode I, 1.
Exactly. There's going to be...
I didn't like the prequels at all.
I love the prequels. I really enjoyed every single prequel. I have no problem with any of the prequels.
Which is an odd thing to say.
It's a beautiful thing to say. Now, this is how I'm going to end my statement. Ryan Johnson is in charge of the next trilogy.
You mean J.J. Abrams? You mean the side one.
The new one. The new trilogy coming up.
Okay.
He's in charge of it.
Not for long.
he's gonna be. I don't have any problem with the movie. I think he did a great job. I mean,
okay. Well, when I break it down, because you see, you just made general statements without backing up anything. Now, when I have my arguments, I have bullets for this, and I'm gonna tell you line by line what was wrong with this movie. But I'll let you respond because I want to hear you respond. And before we get into that, though, I'd love to hear a voice of reason before I start ranting. Okay,
really?
Okay? Where
is he?
Kylo Sam.
Oh, really?
Okay, will now give us his unfiltered opinion of Star Wars: The Last Jedi. Now, this is an opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that you're not going to hear on the Geek Bros Star Wars: The Last Jedi non-spoiler review. So, listen closely and listen to something for the wisdom. Go, sir.
I would like to say this. In a world where we romanticize the past, I also so happen to be part of it. Everything when we grew up was better. Why? Because it makes us relevant. It makes us stay relevant. Michael better than Kobe. Michael better than LeBron. Michael better than whoever it will be. In my mind, it will always be better because that's the time I grew up.
Understood.
Growing up, seeing Superman, he was the greatest thing until, oh, I stopped and someone said, but Sam, all he does is put a pair of glasses on and come over on the other side and no one can recognize him. But part of him is like, yeah, but he's still, oh. I had, unfortunately, the same experience with this particular movie, The Last Jedi. My expectation, and of course this is an opinion.
Of course.
This is how I have it. I will not go in and dissect as much as, you know, both of you guys, but this is what happened. I went to the movie with a group of friends. Wifey was there. Enjoyed the heck out of it. Then, on our way back, we started talking about the movie. And we talked a bit more.
Let me just get this straight before in the crux. You guys talked a bit about it.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And little by little, something started happening. And that thing is, I had been entertained. I had seen great chase, great, you know, computer anime. It was awesome. But then I stopped and I started to realize, Samuel, you know one thing? The essence. You know how you feed a kid fast food?
Yes.
They love it. They're happy. You're the best dad. But after a while, the nutritional value is lacking.
If any at all, yes.
I found myself going into that. But I was still holding on until my wife went to see the movie the second time. I couldn't go. Then she came back and I was yearning to get something from her expression to convince me, no, Samuel, it isn't so. Or no, Kylo, oh, oops. But anyways. And I didn't find it. And when I asked, well, wifey, so she said, well, yeah, it's what we thought. So I'm left with that feeling right now. Great movie? Yes, it is a great movie. In the line of Star Wars, have I seen better? Yes, I have, unfortunately. And I would leave it as that.
That is probably the most comprehensive discussion or opinion about this, because not only did you not start... You started with that initial wow factor. You had that, mm-hmm. Yes, this is great.
Yeah.
And then you let it sit and you let it sink in and you started to analyze what you watched, to break it down in your own mind. Not even as like a movie critic, just in general, mm-hmm. the plot points, and you realized that it left you feeling hollow.
Yes, that was something missing.
And it was a lot missing. And I respect that because I wish I had that. I wish I walked out of that movie saying, yes. Wow, that was great.
Yes,
and then at least I had that moment. So I sat in the movie theater just deep sighing for the most part.
Oh, wow.
I wish I had that moment. That's why I envy you, because even though you're coming a little more from full circle, you know, you could at least remember that when you walked out, you were having a good time. And it kind of just slowly, you know, eroded, kind of like it was unfulfilling.
I tried to do that, have a hollow feeling. I just couldn't. I just enjoyed the movie so much that even the second time even more.
Okay, well, here's the thing. This movie was, in my opinion, very pretty. Very pretty movie. I mean, oh my God. It was visually stunning. I can't complain about any of that stuff. Visually stunning. But that is really all I can say that I liked about it. Consistently, but in reality, I only liked three things. I liked the opening space battle scene.
Epic.
That was holy crap! I love that. That had me ready until I heard the first joke. which was, I mean, they have telephones in space? Like, are we serious? Come on now. So, then, what was the other thing that I liked? I liked, oh my God. I liked the Rey and the Rey and Kylo team up. That was really cool. That short little battle scene, that was pretty cool. It was no, but it was cool looking. It was stupid, but it was very cool looking.
There's a reason behind
it. Okay. And there was a third thing.
The
porgs. There was a third thing.
The porgs.
And what was the third thing? Kylo Sam, what was the third thing I said I told you?
Yeah, you mentioned it, but it's escaping me right now.
Oh yes, the self-sacrifice of Vice Admiral Holdo and her hyperspace splitting.
Oh yeah, no, that was
that. Awesome. And then, I want a screenshot of that. That's gonna go up on here. Could you imagine if I put that on this?
Awesome.
Oh my God, that was the only thing that I liked about it.
No sound. Empty, basically.
Pretty much. Split them all in half.
No sound.
And no sound. That was a brilliant move. It was so powerful. Okay, and the visuals, it looks so good. I need to get screenshots of that so I can put it up here and rotate them because it would look beautiful and stunning.
Mm-hmm.
But that is it, ladies and gentlemen. It's just three things. I was thoroughly upset with this movie from the minute that Poe Dameron made that please hold joke and he made a Yo Mama joke? He made a Yo Mama joke in Star Wars? This is a galaxy far, far away, a long, long time ago.
Well, they still have mothers.
I know that, but
you
come
don't
on
talk
now.
About any mothers.
But come on. Yo Mama jokes?
Oh, no, that's serious stuff.
Okay? So I'm going to bring it out. I have 9 points. I'm going to bring it down right now, and you guys are welcome to talk about it. Yeah. But it's called The Last Jedi Cons. My first major gripe. Everything Luke.
Oh.
Everything Luke. Look.
Don't be sacrilegious.
Look, check it out. Okay, look. When they left, J.J. left The Force Awakens on a cliffhanger. It was powerful. It was moving. It was emotional. Okay? Do you see how jarring it is to go from her lip trembling and him looking at it and he looking all somber and does anything in his facial expression scream, I'm going to chuck the lightsaber over my shoulder and walk by grumpy? That was, the minute he did that, no, I won't lie, I chuckled. It was unexpected, but it was really. If you wanted it to be underwhelming, fine. You could have just had him not even take it in his hand, walk past her, but just and walk by. I'm sorry, that took me out of the movie. I already knew this movie was gonna be a farce at that moment.
Oh wow!
At that moment, okay. Then they get into his backstory, okay, and. JJ said in his movie that he potentially left. Han said he potentially left to go look for the first Jedi Temple for reasons. We thought there was actually a reason behind it. No, he's just there to die. He doesn't really care. I mean, he has it, the books, but I don't know why he has the books. He doesn't care. He wants to die. So, yeah, of course, that doesn't mean anything to me. Why not? What really bothered me, besides the fact that he hates the Jedi now, so somehow he hates the Jedi because of these texts. He's like, they gotta die, or they were crappy, and even though I tried to make my own Jedi, you know, they were all crappy. Because of his own decision. Nothing but a Jedi set up the situation. He made the situation. You're talking about the hero of the rebellion. What we think at the time, the only surviving Jedi in Return of the Jedi. And he is convinced. Master Yoda doesn't believe so. Leia doesn't believe so. Obi-Wan doesn't believe so. That there is light in the most heinous person in the galaxy, Darth Vader. He swears, I don't even care how childish you can say it was or how wishful thinking it was, he said he can be redeemed, he can be brought back. Padme said that in the prequels. Mm-hmm. Because Padme loved her, and he only just turned. You're talking about, how long are we talking about? 2 decades worth of atrocities.
Mm-hmm.
Vader atrocities that he knew of. And something he's seen, and even that his sister slash ex love interest even went through some stuff. Vader put his friends through some stuff.
Yeah,
but he knew in his heart he can be turned. You're telling me that somehow the darkness in Ben Solo was so great, and he hadn't done anything yet, by the way, was so great. His first idea was to murder him, fleeting as it was. This is the same character that saw good in Darth Vader's 20 years of hell on the galaxy.
But hold on, he did stop.
It doesn't matter.
He wanted, but he stopped. And he's like, you know what? And then that's when old...
It doesn't matter. He, if somebody else tried to kill him, I understand. You're talking about Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker turned the second most evil Dark Jedi Sith over to the dark to the light side. You think that would make you think that you could do it for your own nephew? This is your nephew.
Most likely he's more powerful than his nephew.
But his nephew hasn't done anything yet.
As a matter of fact.
And that's what Ray said.
Okay? He hasn't done anything yet. Furthermore, always changing. What does Yoda say? That the future always changes. Nothing is set in stone. He told that to Luke. So Luke looked into his future, saw the pain, and the pain was so great that he hadn't done anything. He had condemned his nephew there. He didn't even ask Leia. He didn't talk to Han. You're going to murder your sister and your best friend's son because of what you think he's going to do in the future. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. He created... The fact that they made that Luke Skywalker is the bane of the existence. He is the one that created Kylo Ren. I was like, oh no. That is not what Han said. Han said an apprentice betrayed him and took and burned his stuff down. No, he betrayed his apprentice. They did a 180 on the story. So what does that mean? Then Luke lied to Leia and Han.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
That's great. He's our savior. Fantastic. He's a liar.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm not talking about the grumpy stuff. He can be grumpy all he wants. But what led the galaxy to this spot right now, what led him to where he is his own doing. He did it himself. Where's the wisdom? He was more wise in his early 20s than he was in his, what is he, 50s? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Luke was... The dropped plot threads from Force Awakens. I'm going to go down them. Rey's mystery parents. They're nobody. Okay, that's great. Then why do we make it seem like
there's
a mystery?
There's more to it. There's more
there's
to
no
it.
There's
no
more to it.
I just
there is no more to it.
I just read I read the
I don't want to hear it.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't. No, because I don't
here's
care.
The thing.
No, stop, Juan, because post-mortem means nothing. I'm talking about
this movie. I'm talking about this movie.
No, you're
post-mortem.
Oh my god.
Kylo saw who raised parents. Kylo decided to tell her who her parents were.
Who said it?
Kylo.
He didn't say it.
He said, your parents are nobody.
No, stop. He said, say it. And she said, they were nobody.
Because he knew
and
they were nobody.
And then he filled it in. She said they were nobody first.
Because that's what she felt. So he didn't... He could have told her.
The fact of the matter is, I don't care what it says post-mortem. The movies told us that her parents are nobody. That's all we're working on right now.
But there's more to it than that.
I'm sure... Okay, fine. I'm not talking about those... I'm not projecting to the future, Juan. I'm talking about right now.
Okay, but...
What did the
Kylo,
movie... Kylo did the
gave
movie,
us...
Hold on.
Kylo...
Uh-huh.
Kylo gave us what he wanted to tell us.
He didn't tell us anything.
He told us basically the backstory. They sold her for alcohol money.
He said that afterwards, but who said it first? Rey said they were nobody. Rey admitted
because
it first.
Even Kylo said it. You know who they are.
You
and
know
Kylo
who they
knew.
Are. And say it.
Kylo knew.
No. But he made Rey say it. The fact of the matter is, can we agree? They said her parents are nobody. We're not going to talk about what we think or what we're projecting or what Kylo kind of, he hinted at. No. They solved the mystery right now. As of right now, they solved the mystery. They're nobody. So what my gripe is, then why in The Force Awakens did you make it seem like her parents' lineage meant something?
Yeah. I thought she was related to Luke.
Doesn't matter who she could have. She could have been Mace Windu's love child for all I care. But if you intended on making them nobody, then you shouldn't have ever built up the mystery. You didn't have to tell us who her parents were. We could have speculated. But they purposely made her lineage a mystery to be solved in future movies to let us down. Okay? Snoke's mystery. He's dead. There's no point of him.
There's no mystery there.
There's no mystery. We didn't learn anything about him. We don't know what his plan was. We don't know where he came from. We don't know how this random... And by the way, the old Empire was against aliens, and he's an alien, so how does he rise up to the ranks?
Okay, yeah.
They were against aliens. It was racism against aliens. How did this alien raise up to the top? There's a huge story there. No, he was a plot thread for Kylo. He was another failed parent for Kylo to lash out on. Is that what this was? That's all it was? So then why did we make Snoke seem ominous and like he was the big bad?
So big.
You know? That was a waste. Okay? Knights of Ren. Where are they? What happened? You don't think that maybe the Knights of Ren would love to be around to, you know, for their, because since their master failed, or where are they? Not even a throwaway line though. I sent the Knights of Ren to retrieve an artifact from the unknown regions. Give me something. You could have acknowledged. It's like you saw them in the Force vision, you knew they were going to be fleshed out in the second movie. That's it. You knew it. You felt it. You give us a little flash. We're going to see him together, and they're gonna ride together. Could I ask a question? When he took over the First Order, why wasn't his first order to his first decree to call back his knights to come and lead this? I want to go down there. Okay, go down there. But by the way, can you call the Knights of Ren? I've taken charge, and I want to wipe these guys out. They'll be late, but it's cool. No Knights of Ren. Not even a passing mention of the Knights of Ren. Worthless. The state of the galaxy after the destruction of the New Republic. I understand politics is not fun. They didn't like it. I love Bloodline, by the way. Bloodline was very political intrigue. That's how you should do a political thing in Star Wars. I get that they're shying away from it, but guess what? The Krall said the First Order reigns. How? If this is picking up right after Starkiller Base was blown up, okay, can we assume that there was millions upon millions of people on that base when it destroyed? Where's the recoil from that? Furthermore, why are we talking about the state of the galaxy? We go to Canto Bight and everybody's like, yay, slot coins! Never mind that the new body of government for this entire galaxy got blown up and the First Order is running amok. I want to gamble because we're rich. No, even if, yes, they were all arms dealers and they're all playing both sides, somebody's got to say something about it. They completely ignored the state of the galaxy. They did not. It was one line. The First Order reigns. And all I could say is how. I understand, but I don't understand. Because they got their big base blown up. How are they reigning? And this is taking place right after. I know they called all their ships in, but still. There's a moment where you have to sit back and say, holy crap, we just lost our planet. We lost millions of our people. No mention of the state of the galaxy, just moving on. Yeah, we blew up the New Republic, and then in return, they blew up Starkiller Base, but it doesn't even matter. On to the next thing. More action, take them out. No. Luke's quest, which I already mentioned, Luke's quest and his vanishing mystery, why set up that plot thread? Why make it a mystery of why Luke disappeared? Just say it. Luke felt responsible, and he vanished. Not, he was looking for the First Jedi Temple. When you heard that Luke was looking for the First Jedi Temple, we thought he was looking for wisdom and knowledge to either start the Jedi over again, or to find a way to find out what's wrong with what happened to, or to find out the faults that made this happen in hopes to maybe correct it. I was thinking that Rey was going to find him, and he's going to say, listen, I don't want to train you. I'm not ready yet. I have yet to figure out where I went wrong, where the Jedi went wrong. Not that he went there to die, even though he found the books. And again, why did he have the books for? If you had no one, if you went there to die, and you know this, why did you get the Jedi books? Why did you put them in there for? Why did you burn them originally? I know you were thinking about it, then you didn't want to do it, and then some Force puppet Yoda blew it.
The Yoda pop.
Okay, listen, it's down there. It's down there. Okay, so these are plot threads that were dropped that I did not. I just.
So these plot threads that you are talking about are what you wanted to see in the movie.
No, Juan, they were set up in The Force Awakens. But, that is classic storytelling. Hold
on. There's still one more movie for the trilogy. Why can't you just wait until the end that movie before you talk about plot?
Then why
things develop?
No, Juan.
I still feel like a lot of those things are still going to be developed. For example, okay. I'll break it down.
Okay.
Ray's parents. We're still gonna have an answer.
I'm not talking about this movie. We're reviewing The Last Jedi. We're not talking
But here's the thing.
Okay.
Ray's parents' question was answered. They sold her for money.
Okay, but that's not my issue.
We still don't know who her parents really are.
It doesn't matter. Okay. They just said it doesn't matter. Snoke. I'm not talking about the reveal, Juan. I'm not talking about the reveal. I said why did they set up a huge mystery if it was going to be paid off so haphazardly? That's my gripe. So you're not listening to
they played it haphazardly right now.
Okay, but we can only talk about
Juan. You wanted them to answer the question in the Last Jedi.
No, they did answer the question.
But you want them to go more in deep in the movie.
No. That's not what I said. What did I say, Juan? My issue with Rey's parentage is that they built it up to be something, and it was nothing. So then why waste of time building up that plot thread to make it seem like it was a big mystery? She even said it's classified, or it's a mystery. Why did they even have Maz Kanata look over at Han and like, who's the girl? Like, if he knew something more about her. They alluded to these ideas that there was some kind of mystery about her. That is why all the fan threads came out of there. If they didn't think it was a mystery, there would be no fan theory crafting on Rey's parentage. I'm not saying I didn't like that they were nobody. I'm not saying that I didn't like that they were revealed. I'm saying if it was gonna be so inconsequential to the story of this new trilogy, why did you build it up?
But they build it up.
Isn't it part of storytelling? I mean, I understand what you're saying,
right?
But part of storytelling. Uh-huh. I mean, if I'm starting the story and you already know the end, then you're losing value for, you know.
There's a phrase, clickbait or what's the word I want to say? You're giving false expectations because you are literally implanting a false concept in the audience's mind. You're giving a mystery that you are giving the impression means something to the general narrative.
They answered that question in the second movie.
What is wrong with you? They answered the question. They said that her parents are nobody. You want to keep speculating that they're more than nobody? No. We're talking about The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi answered the question. For all we know, The Last Jedi answered the question. That's it. Stop speculating. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about why build it up if it was not important to the story.
But that's a way to keep it, in that sense, I understand what you mean.
Right.
Besides being able to follow it.
Right.
But it gets you talking. You know, the different possibilities that end up being this way.
And you're right. And it's
It does look awkward, though. I'll give you that.
And it's fantastic. I mean,
but the value
to create a mystery just to create buzz with no intent to go anywhere with it is false advertising.
That can also be a sign of a great storyteller, always keeping you wanting more. My thing is this.
You could have kept me wanting more without giving me the impression that her parents meant something.
I was like, once that last epic scene, I saw her in front of Luke, I'm like, oh, he had a child. I mean, my mind went,
of course.
He had a child.
You know, he had this look, but...
I definitely understand your point there. Well, what I'm saying to you is... giving enough space, if you want, for the person who started, and I'm somewhere between you guys,
right,
by the way.
Right.
Okay. There's the practical side,
right?
Yeah.
That's telling me, hey, this is miss and everything. But there's also this is fantasy. Part of fantasy is still make believe. You still have to, you have to be open to be entertained. Yeah. Also.
No, of course.
You telling me the story, I'm not telling it to myself. I have to let you bring me where you want to bring me.
Right.
Now, once the story ends, then I can look back and go, yeah, the road that I traveled with you, yeah, that road sucked.
But then can we assume? But then can we say that the road to raise parents from The Force Awakens to The Last Jedi was the same road?
Can we
say it's the same road? I think one was a gravel road and one was a smooth road, paved over. It was because if you were to follow that story by itself, it's like, oh my God, mystery. Oh, by the way, they're nobody.
Oh.
That's what it is. It's, here she's a mystery. Who is she? Classified. I don't know my parents. I was stranded on Jakku as a little kid. Okay. They flew off in a spaceship. I think they're coming back for me, but I'm told they're not going to come back for me. And that... they're nobody? Okay, cool. That's good. Moving on. So you knocked down the whole Jenga thing.
I'm
just saying.
What I'm saying is this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I love lineage and, right. to King or... there's different things that I appreciate this way. But I think this message right here is... when there's a need, the Force can choose anyone.
I know what they're trying to do. The Force can be in anybody. By the way, it doesn't make any sense to me because Immaculate Conception, Skywalker blood should be more powerful than anything because the Force created that. But moving on with that.
Okay.
But I get that. I like that. I like that anybody could be a huge, powerful Jedi. Anybody, the Force can call upon anybody to get into it. I'm not discussing that. What I'm discussing is the narrative pathway of storytelling that got us to that point that raised parents with nobody was messy, and it's indicative of two different writers. One writer set this up, and maybe they had no place they were going to go with it, and another writer knocked it down and they had no cohesion. They're making this up as they go along, which they've admitted, by the way. That's not good storytelling.
Because even the next... by the way, I read a comment saying... Uh-huh. Even that, the fact that... and what Juancho is alluding to...
Right.
Even the fact that her parents are nobody... could be a lie.
It could be, and they could retcon it. But yes. I'm not going to that point. I'm going to where we are right now. Okay. Where we are right now is that you built up a mystery to give us no payoff.
Here's the article that I was talking about.
Oh, well, I don't care.
And this is from the director, and this is the director defending. In the scene with Kylo Ren, Rey admits that her parents were nobodies. They were junk traders who sold her off for alcohol money. Kylo adds, given that many fans spent the last 2 years theorizing that she was related to a character integral to the Star Wars universe, perhaps even Luke Skywalker himself, this was a bit of a rude awakening. Some even posed the idea that this particular reveal was a misdirection in terms of her actual parents. However, The Last Jedi director Rian Johnson says that this is not the case. Speaking to Coldier, Johnson says that that's what Kylo sees and that's what he tells her. I think he's not lying in that moment. That's what he saw and she seems to believe what she hears. Still, the director admits that things could change in Episode 9, which is...
Because it's a different freaking storyteller.
Or directing.
That's why.
Can they pick up that story?
Because they can pick it up and they can do anything they want with it.
But the story still... You're saying that, correct me if I'm wrong, the way that you say it, because I'm still on Rey's parents. You think that because now that they answer that their parents are nobody, that's it. We're done.
That's not what I said to you. What did I say? You're not listening to me. You hear me, but you're not listening to me. I said I can only base my review about what's going with Rey and her lineage on this movie.
I think that
you want to speculate.
We cannot speculate. I actually like that. I'm not saying you don't have to. That's the thing about debating and stuff. But I still feel that the reveal for Rey's parents was perfect. I liked it a lot. I wanted more.
How was it perfect? It felt good. What part of The Force Awakens gave you the illusion that her parents were going to be nobody? What part of The Force Awakens gave you the illusion?
None.
I never said that she was going to be. Well, I thought she was going to be a Palpatine. I would have loved that. But other than that, I didn't care if she wasn't related to anybody that we knew. It could have been an old Knights of the Old Republic character. It could have been somebody else, random extra. The fact of the matter is, the Force Awakens set it up, and when he rolled the bar, it was a gutter. Yeah. He didn't knock anything down.
But here's the same thing as moving forward the thing. You also have the Knights of Ren. I would have looked, because they built the crap out of the Knights of Ren on Force Awakens. They're like, Knights of Ren. I was expected to see the Knights of Ren again in the last, and they fell short again about them. Unfortunately, that's the way the stories are told. I mean, what more can we do? We're just going to have to wait to see how more of the story unfolds. That's why I'm still staying hopeful, and I really enjoyed the movie. So,
part three. I mean, only at three now. We're at an hour and 20 minutes. Can you believe this? I'm so heated.
Give it to him. Go ahead, man. Bring it home.
You said you enjoyed the Canto Bite segment.
It's Canto, not Canto.
I don't care. I wrote this really quick, okay? Okay.
Not bit.
Okay.
Bite.
I don't care. I wrote this really quick. Okay. You of all people are not going to help me about my English. Okay.
He spelled Canto.
Okay.
Bit.
I did. I spelled it as Canto bit. I'm sorry. I was writing really fast.
Canto bite.
Okay. So you said you liked that scene.
I love the Canto bite scenes. It was the most beautiful scenes that I've ever seen in a movie.
That served no narrative purpose whatsoever.
They did.
How?
Okay, no, I need to be
And the reason why it's self-nerd purpose, because it felt, now you actually see the back end of what a war will do to those who are participating.
That's background. I said narrative purpose. How did that Canto Bite scenes propel the story along?
Oh, here we go. The kids.
No, Juan. The kids. What is the story of The Last Jedi?
The Last Jedi.
What is the story of The Last Jedi? The Last Jedi follows Rey as she meets Luke concurrently while the First Order is chasing the Resistance as they're trying to find a new base.
You're talking about the Finn and Rose mission.
I'm talking about the story. Yes, the Canto Bight period. How did that serve the narrative purpose of the story, of the plot?
Well, they need...
It does not.
How?
It does not.
Go ahead.
It was a good analogy that I heard. It's like an RPG. Now, you need to beat this boss. Before you beat this boss, you got to find this person. Quest. But before this person can give you something, you need to do a side quest. That was a side quest that had no point. They did not need Finn and Rose to go find no master codebreaker. They didn't need to get they didn't get the right codebreaker. They got a crappy codebreaker. They got themselves locked up. They freed some animals. They finally got back to the ship. They were betrayed. And guess what? All along, that was never the plan.
But here's the thing about that part of Canto Bight that I enjoyed that a lot. The set up the seed for the potential future younglings.
I don't care about that.
I think it was a very important part of the movie to see.
It's a very important part of the lore. It's a very important part of the canon. It's a very important part of maybe the expanded universe. But for this movie, it was not important.
I felt it was important.
For this movie?
I felt that Canto Bight was important. Because
for the story and the plot, Juan, I'm asking you to think critically here. Stop. Take off the glasses. Think critically. That whole side quest did not do anything for the Resistance and didn't do anything for the First Order. It had nothing to do with the movie.
I think the Canto Bight thing was just for them to sell up for failure. because basically this movie was all about failing. I didn't see anyone winning,
which is fine, so, which is great. But the other failures happened, and it served the narrative purpose. This didn't serve any narrative purpose whatsoever. Don't get me wrong, beautiful, and I loved that first establishing shot where it was like, I guess it was a crane shot, and it went through all the casinos. You saw all different people. I love that guy from The Leftovers. He's hilarious. It was great to see him, but. You know, he looked really good. And
you know what's his name? I forgot his name. The short guy that plays R2.
You mean Warwick Davis. He was playing somebody. Warwick Davis, you're the man. But the Canto Bight, none of it had any purpose. It was a side quest to give something for Finn and for Rose to do for the entire movie.
Not in his direction, I believe.
Okay. It was completely. And it was unnecessary. You could have given Finn and her Rose something else to do entirely. At least serve the story.
Okay.
Let him go searching for the Knights of Ren.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All of Canto Bight was so. Okay. And I'm going to say number four, flipping Poe. Everything about Poe.
Really?
Everything about Poe. He was insufferable this entire movie. Okay. He was a hothead. He thought he knew everything. He demanded answers. He blah 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 blah. He created a mutiny.
I think the problem with
not the character that I remember meeting in Force Awakens.
I think
Awakens.
Once he became commander, I think got to his head, and this is why he was acting. I need to know why this happened.
Then give me an establishing stuff. Give me a promotion where he feels like he got a big britches, because the character he was completely different.
The character seemed whiny.
Exactly. What are we doing? But
In Poe's defense, I think that he wanted to just get up, be on top, and beat everyone up, which caused the character to fail.
Understood. But his character was insufferable. Absolutely insufferable.
It was a bit hard. Yeah.
He was insufferable, and he did not in any way, shape, or form take responsibility.
He did recover himself at the end, though.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Why? Because he just randomly said peel off after everybody else died? There was only three people left afterwards.
At the end.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Peel off, guys. We're going to lose. Well,
you mean
me and Rose? Okay, we'll peel off. Everybody else is dead.
Not even then. I think after they were rescued, I think that's when Kylo went back to being...
He did not earn that leadership role. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Nothing about his behavior earned that leadership role. When Leia says,
he was still not a commander. He still was demoted.
I understand. But you saw the... which it was an unsaid thing that Leia gave... the thumbs up to Poe for the future. She passed the baton. Yeah. You saw it.
No, I didn't.
Why he's looking at me? Follow him. I'd have been like, no. Don't follow him. Don't follow him. Where are you trying to take us?
What I enjoyed.
We're all going to die. Poe's leading us.
I think with Leia, that scene, I think her having to finally see her brother and finally be able to sense him, I think kind of made her kind of like not all there, and let her focus more, have him more focus on
anybody
that.
Anybody see Battleship?
Yeah.
He's using Battleship. Okay, when Hopper, when a captain dies and Hopper's taking control, the deckhands or whatever, they're at the top, they said, oh my god, what's happening? Who's in charge? Hopper's in charge. He's next in command. He goes, Hopper's in charge? We're all gonna die! Because that was exactly, he was a hothead. He had to take the entire movie to lose his brother, to lose his ships, to finally realize that, you know what, the way I'm doing it is wrong. I need to learn to accept criticism and whatever. That was an arc. Poe had no arc. Poe was insufferable up to the very end, and just because, oh, that was a good plan. Yeah, Laura Dern's character was a very good plan. Now all of a sudden he's humbled? No, I'm sorry. Poe's character was insufferable from the beginning, and he nothing redeeming about him whatsoever. Okay,
he got worse. Yeah,
he got worse, and it was out of character.
That was not the same.
You know, I didn't feel like it was the same person whatsoever. Because if that's true, then guess what? In Force Awakens, he would have rogued one that bee, and he would said, "You know what? You guys want to go fight?
Let's go.
Let's go bring it. Okay,
this is Sparta.
Exactly.
Wrong movie. Sorry.
Huh?
This is Sparta.
This is Sparta. Okay, this is Sparta. Okay, but he didn't.
Yeah,
he didn't do anything.
Right. No,
you know what I'm saying? He was like, you know what? You're right. I understand.
He was a true commander. Yeah.
And that's the same. I'm sorry. I don't know what you did with Poe's character. The unfortunate Marvel-type humor was out of place.
Yeah.
There
were a few comments, like I said.
It was out
of
place.
I can pick in the movie. There was a few, like the beginning comments. I saw the second, because we did miss that kind of corny joke at the beginning. As I saw the second time, I'm like, oh, so that's what Five Men.
No.
I really didn't enjoy it. Other than that, everything was good.
Everything was good? Yeah. You're talking about, there's a scene where and I'm sorry. You know what? There's a fourth thing I like about The Force Awakens. The Force mind meld. That was awesome. Whoever thought about that, and the sound went whoop. and got quiet. Jesus, that was amazing sound design for that. Anyway, there's a scene where she's still upset with him because he killed Han Solo, and it's supposed to be a very emotional scene. But before you can start, he's shirtless. She goes, and she goes, she goes, why did you? Can you put on a towel or something? And then, no joke, 2 minutes later, why did you kill him?
That was
Why did you do it?
That was an Easter egg, by the way. Let me.
I don't care. No, Juan, please don't. Because that's not the point. We're going based upon what the movie is saying.
No, because I know there was a reason before the
cut. I don't care what the reason was. It was.
I actually enjoyed it. It's just a torso.
Okay,
I was like, damn, I want to have me a torso like that.
But like stuff like that, you don't need to make. And this is my same problem with Thor that I said. You don't need to force the jokes.
Yeah,
these characters, they can come naturally. The comedy can come naturally, you know? Because, and it works like that. But there was so much forced humor, and it made me, it took me out of the movie. And then a lot of the humor was very present day. It's going to be dated because, I'm sorry, it didn't work for me. The humor didn't work for me. Don't get me wrong, I laughed. But I laughed, but it was more like a nervous laugh, like, are they really doing this in the Star Wars movie? Oh my god. It was a nervous laugh. The humor didn't listen, Theo Starr and Joey Fry didn't laugh once, by the way. And when certain things like the tossing the lightsaber over the shoulder, something like that, they asked why. The question was why? They said, why did he do that? I said, it's funny. That's what I'm saying. Okay?
Next.
Number six. Worthless porgs.
Bro, don't talk about the porgs.
Stop it.
Don't talk about the porgs.
Stop it.
Don't talk about
stories. Stop it. We're talking about a movie and a story, okay? The porgs, like I assumed, did not serve any narrative purpose.
They lived on the island. So the caretakers for the Jedi had nothing to do. They were only there twice. They're part of the island.
So they're a background. So, but they weren't in the trailer. They weren't heavily marketed.
Of course not.
Okay, exactly.
So what's the problem with the porgs?
Because the porgs didn't serve any purpose.
Did any of the Gungans... Oh, they serve
exactly.
a purpose.
The
but Gungans, still, the porgs...
Hold on. Gungans serve the purpose. Ewoks serve the purpose. Even the ice crystal dogs serve the purpose. Sorry, the salt crystals. They serve the purpose.
The porgs were just there.
You could have given the porgs some...
Why do you
want to
give them a purpose?
Because you gave a spotlight to a creature. Because
he was cute.
Just to sell toys.
He was cute.
That's
and that's it?
Yeah, I love the porgs. The porgs were amazing.
But they
were such
the
a good... You know what?
But they didn't
serve
the story.
Did the blue cow... Did the cow see... The
oh
sea cow serve a purpose?
But guess what? There was one scene. It was just one scene.
He sucked in, he milked the cow.
But it was one scene. The porgs could have just been in one scene then. Why couldn't it just been in one scene? Why were there... You had them in the Millennium Falcon. You had them making nests. You had Chewbacca almost eat one.
I love the porgs.
Making faces at him. Come on.
I love the porgs.
You love the porgs for what?
I love the porgs. I just love the porgs a lot. I really enjoy the porgs.
Because you're a fanboy. You're not looking at it critically.
I love the porgs.
The porgs had no point to them.
Yes, but they didn't have any point. I know they didn't have point, but they felt good because they felt like they fit the island. You know the island where they were
why did they feel they fit the island?
Correct me if
why
I'm kind of saying. Are those the Galapagos Islands? Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They're known for their finches.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I felt that the writers wanted to compare the finches to the porgs.
So why give them so much screen time?
Why not? What would be a difference of having a finch?
I'm asking
that owned the whole island.
But I'm asking you, why give them so much screen time?
Why
give them so much up close and personal screen
why
time?
Why not?
What is the purpose of
that? Because you want to get personal with the porgs.
For what? How did they serve the story?
It's a touch. To me, they were just a touch there.
Was it a touch? If you saw the Jedi nurses, the island nurses, they were a touch. The blue milk, that was a touch. The ice crystal dogs, even those were a touch, but they served the purpose. You could have put the same emphasis on the porgs, and you could have had one stumble ass backwards on the hyperdrive and saved everybody.
It may have been a marketing thing, too.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what it was. That's what it was.
Everybody
worthless.
Would like those little cutie things that were...
And porgs are the new Furbies, guaranteed.
Okay.
Just because of that.
Perfect.
Okay? Worthless.
You heard it first, so get close.
I'm just saying, exactly.
Porgs are the new Furbies.
Puppet Yoda.
Let's not talk about Puppet Yoda.
No.
Yoda was perfect.
No.
He felt
no.
so...
No.
It felt good.
No, stop it. He looked funky and you know it.
I liked it.
He looked rubbery and he looked wrong.
I liked it. I really liked it. I saw it the first time. I'm like, okay, I see his... But I saw it the second time. He reminded me of the Yoda in episode...
No.
Which one?
No.
Episode 3. The end.
The CG?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he did.
Was so glossy. I'm wondering, couldn't they have gone into the archives and found the Return of the Jedi puppet? What?
That would have been awesome.
That would look fine.
I love
Yoda. He looked so rubbery. It was jarring. I remember the first time we watched it when he popped up, and I looked at Juan and I said, "What is that?" And Juan goes, "Shh." I was shocked. What is he? He looked so funky. Listen, mad props to going to a puppet again, but my lord, who said that looked great?
I really enjoyed the puppet Yoda you're calling.
No, I'm
Come
sorry.
On, Kylo Sam, what do you have to say about the puppet Yoda?
The wifey, upon seeing him, told me he looks a little freaky.
Yeah.
That's what the wifey said.
He looks weird. He didn't look right.
He did, yeah.
I'm not critiquing the concept or his arrival or his story, just his design. It was poor.
Yeah, it was.
It was poor. It looked weird. Okay. Oh my God, the tragic story of Phasma. They gave us a book and a comic book about her. Like, they were building her up to be something amazing.
And they did it. I loved it.
I
love what they did to Phasma. I really enjoyed it. Because you know what? I was actually hoping they did that to Phasma. Why? Because I love seeing people like, oh my God, Phasma's going to be amazing. Oh, sorry, we're taking her away again. I just love that feeling. That's what happened. They gave us Phasma. They build her up. They're like, okay, don't worry. We're gonna give her more screen time. We're gonna do this. We're gonna answer all the fans. Oh, what happened to Phasma? What happened to Phasma? They gave her even a comic book
and a book. They gave her a Journey to the Force Awakens.
A book.
A journey to the Legendary book.
And then they take her away again.
Dang.
But this time around, they take her away really good.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. They kind of destroyed her soul.
Did you read Phasma book? Okay, there's a character...
I didn't read the comic books, though.
No, there's a character named Cardinal. Now, the character named Cardinal, he's just like Phasma. He trains the younger stormtroopers, and he's in all red, okay? And he didn't like Phasma, and as he's figuring out what happened to her, he eventually confronts Phasma. And she whoops his butt in minutes. Whoops him. He is just as trained as she is. Whoops him. How in the hell did Finn last so long against her?
He struggled.
He did?
Yes. There was struggle in the beginning.
He did?
Yes, he did. It wasn't until he actually felt like he tricked her. That was the only way he beat her, by tricking her. But he struggled.
She is a trained, ruthless warrior, and he is a stormtrooper that only went into one battle, left.
But he struggled. I mean, he struggled throughout the fight scene.
He should have been able to struggle. He should have been knocked out in two blows. She took out a seasoned, hardened, and his Cardinal trains. He used to train all the stormtroopers. Took him out and almost killed him. No, left him for dead. But he was saved. Okay, and it was quick.
Well,
real quick.
Hold on, and let's talk about the type of weapons that were used in Cardinal, because I didn't read the book. What weapons were they using for Cardinal and Phasma?
I don't remember. I don't know if it was hand-to-hand or if it was just weapons.
Now you have...
But does it matter?
I think the weapon that was used compared to...
That was her weapon from the book. That is her weapon.
Okay, yeah. But now you have... And then you have a heavy with electricity a weapon hitting you. Of course you're going to struggle.
Or you dodge it and you impale the sucker. What are you talking about, Juan?
There's martial arts to it, and there's ways to dodge an attack, and I think that she did the right way to fight. I don't think there's other way that she could have dodged that. Either she does that, and she gets hit, and she gets electrocuted.
He did this. She parried. He could have done this, and he struggled to do this, and she just does a half-quarter step. Step to the side, and then impale him. That's it. What are you talking about, Juan? There was no excuse for why. Okay, fine. Finn lasted against Kylo Ren in the first movie. They had a whole thing. He was emotionally crippled. The Force was weaker in him. He was damaged. They gave a build-up as to why Finn was able to hold his own. Phasma was in no such... She was in a prime. She had just pretty much damn near murdered her counterpart, which is just as strong as her. She should have taken him out immediately.
No.
No,
you have to play the background as well. You have to also think about the background. What's going on at the same
what's
time?
What's happening at the same time?
The spaceship is falling apart.
But they're still fighting each other. That's got nothing to do with it. It was a tunnel vision story between them two. That's like telling me that you can go up against Bruce Lee, and you would hold your own just because maybe it's snowing outside.
Well, if we're outside, most likely, maybe I don't know.
Oh my sweet God, we're done. There's nothing more to say. That is the single most idiotic thing you said on in any Geek Girls thing.
Okay, like if we ask, anything is possible outside.
But they dispatched her unceremoniously.
I did feel like they dispatched her very quickly.
And yes, it was unfortunate. It was a waste. I'm so upset about that.
Yeah, one more.
I have one more. The entire second act of the space chase, the Cylons versus the First Order versus chasing the rebels, and it's just one extended, super slow chase scene. Then they cut back and forth.
Yeah,
that's all it was. It was keeping them on board, and I don't understand why that had to be. Why did it have to be that way? One lone ship is tracking the entire fleet, and the timing is off, because while this is happening, you got Luke training, some sort of training Rey. You've got Canto Bight going on. And mind you, they only have about 18 hours of fuel. All that happened in 18 hours?
Basically.
That is... I mean, I know hyperspace is fast, but is it that fast? Because I'm telling you right now, I'm only 18 minutes away from my day job, and let me just right now, I cannot get all this done in that amount of time and make it on time.
About the whole space chase?
Absolutely nothing.
The Easter egg that was dropped in Rogue One.
See how Juan is plucking from articles and yeah, from the... This has nothing to do with the movie. Okay, we didn't know that about the movie.
Remember the part when they were talking about the space?
I know what you're talking about. That has nothing to do with this movie.
It was awesome seeing how they went back and like talked about, oh, you know, there's a secret here of how to follow somebody through hyperspace. That was pretty cool how they brought that back. That was actually cool. I enjoyed that.
They took a little nugget from Rogue One and made that the entire central conflict of Act Two, and that was cool.
I liked it. No, but not that center part. Just some traveling through the hyperspace. I didn't like the whole shooting
lasers. We can't catch up to them because they're nimble. So we're just going to keep shooting them so they know that we're around here, and then wait till them to run out of fuel. That was the central conflict, is fuel?
Listen, even strategy-wise, I mean, I know this was your best scene, but we're talking, this is military speaking.
I understand. Right?
People who are training the art of war.
Of chasing. The art of chasing. Yes. Chase your enemy until they run out of fuel. Or get hungry, or wear them out.
One of the things that got me is you see that object that you are chasing turning around. Mm-hmm. Now, in the human mind, if this is happening, I'm chasing a car, and I see it turn towards me, what is it going to do next? You know?
I'm not even, that part is a chase, but
yeah,
if you're turning around, they're gonna ram, but of course, and it's hubris, they were very cocky.
It took him a long time to realize, huh?
I understand it's a little cockiness, but can we just be, I mean, like, why? Why couldn't we then have a stalemate on the ground? Let's short a chase scene. Let's get further to that whole let's escape and get into the planet part. Let's move up Lord Durin's sacrifice, and let's make it more like a stalemate on the ground or something, and cut between the ground, you know, the Salt Hoth, and whatever's going on up there.
Salt Hoth, really? That's what you have to call it?
I call it Salt Hoth. That's what it is. Salt Hoth. That's what it was. It was Hoth, but it was salt instead. And it was funny because they had to make sure that you knew it wasn't Hoth or snow. They had to have a little extra go like this.
Yeah, that part
it's salt. Okay,
It's
salt.
Thank you.
Okay, just so you know, it's not snow. Okay, there's no wampas here, but we have crystal dogs. Oh, and that's Gareth Edwards from Rogue One. Yeah, he's right there. You know, that's oh my god, oh my god, and that's it. Those are my major gripes of The Last Jedi.
Now, one thing I would like to say: The Last Jedi, the title itself, I was a little lost. But I thought there was a beautiful opening, because I got tricked a couple of times, not to say three or four, as far as I think, oh, that's where you're going, awesome. Well, no, this is not where you're going. The whole thing about her, you know, this one of the lines that because I felt it too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, okay, well, that's different than what I was expecting. But now, there was a key moment where she travels all the way to save Kylo, because she believes there's some good in him. Now, she goes into enemy territory to do that.
By the way, the stranger had more hope in Ben Solo than his uncle. Carry on.
Actually, yeah, you got a point. Yeah, okay.
The stranger. So,
he goes in there. Now, she goes in there, meets him, the defeat, and after disposing of,
Snoke. Yes, of Snoke.
Yeah.
Okay, Hugh Hefner Snoke.
this.
But I'm gonna get his outfit. That robe. That was the ish. That was decadence.
I can do stuff with that.
Okay, yes, you can. Okay, okay. If we and you walk back to Zamunda wearing we would overthrow it. Okay, Black Panther, nothing. All right.
Now there is one key part where I said, "Awesome! This is awesome." When Kylo looks at Ren and told her, basically, you know what? Let's end this. No more Jedi. It's you and I.
That was it.
I see. And she raises her head.
She does.
And I'm like, that is why it's the last Jedi.
Yes. Because
there's no more. Go ahead, join him and make something new happen.
Right there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
Personally.
That is the epitome of my regret between Force Awakens and Last Jedi. Same thing. It was all that build up.
It's like, nothing. Finally, so you guys are going to team up together and make something
and completely different. Yeah. That would have redeemed the Last Jedi completely. If all that mess was just to give us this, the cliffhangers. Could you imagine how we would feel? We like this. Yeah. The theory crafting of what that means for the universe would have been brilliant. You should have gone that far.
What new enemies would have been...
So now there's no more black and white, is now gray. Where's the conflict now? What are we going to do now? What does this mean for the resistance? What does it mean for the First Order? Are they going to come together? Are they not going to come together? What's going to happen? Really? Nope, they went back to the black and white. Kylo somehow he's going to be the big bad. Like, as if he's earned it. How did he earn it?
Funny enough, I don't know if I was the only one. Mm-hmm. After a while, I started cheering for Kylo to tell the truth.
Yeah!
I was like, no, I want him to win.
Oh, yeah, no, Kylo...
That guy was done wrong.
Kylo, exactly.
Brother was done wrong.
The minute we found out that it was Luke's fault, I said, okay, so he's more than he's a victim. He's not even a tragic villain.
No,
he's a victim.
You gave up on me.
I would have done the same thing.
You give up on me.
Okay. I mean, I don't really know how heavy that wooden house was that knocked out Luke for all that time. I don't get that part.
Ben, no!
And then he knocks him out. Yep. Jedi Master, everybody. Jedi Master.
Who can project himself?
Who can project himself, but a little bit of rubble, which looks like rocks and wood, knocks you right out. Knocks you right out. Oh, my God. That movie, it wasn't polarizing for me. I had very little about it.
We are talking about it.
We are.
Yeah.
No, we are talking about it because I have to talk about it because I thought I was a Star Wars fan.
I will not come alone next time. I think the next time we do this is going to be the spoiler review on video, and I will have Darth Flex with me.
So we're going to do the spoiler. No, we're going to do a spoiler review. I'm going to challenge you guys to I'm going to challenge you guys. I mean, me versus you three. And if Kylo Sam would like to be a part of it to be the media, the moderator. More than welcome to. So we extend that interview. What is it? Invitation.
Yes.
To you, Kylo Sam, to come and mediate, if not moderate, this vibe versus Juancho, Darth Flex, and Garbanzo.
Ooh.
for the merits of The Last Jedi. So on that note, we're almost 2 hours into this. I'm sorry, guys, it went so long, but this. It really bothers me. I mean, more than net neutrality. Can you believe that mess?
Wow.
That's how much this bothers me.
Strong kick.
Okay? Before we wrap up, I just want to say, don't forget to check out us on social media. That's going to be...
Instagram and Twitter is Geek Bros, GEEKBR0S.
Because Wancho wants to keep you guys confused.
And the email is... Oh, sorry. Facebook is Geek Bros. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing. GEEKBR0S.
Because I had to keep you consistent because Wancho wants to get you guys confused.
And...
Outlook.
The email is geekbros@outlook.com. That's GEEKBROS.
Because Juancho wants to make you guys confused.
Man, I was taking notes. I couldn't keep up.
Exactly. And of course, you can always listen to us first thing. We're supposed to be doing it weekly, but I don't know what's going on with Juancho. First, WeBeGeeksPC.com, okay? The first place to hear our podcast. Then, of course, iTunes, Stitcher,
and
Google Play. And, of course... There's far more Vibe Studios content on VibeRevStudios.com. That's VibeRevStudios.com. Check it out. There's more than just Geek Bros there. And somebody watch my Battlestar Galactica cut of the Star Wars The Last Jedi, please. It was a good cut. I worked really hard on it.
Spent 7 hours.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Okay, this is Vibe.
This is Juancho.
Kylo Sam.
Thank you so much, Kylo Sam. Thank you for saving the anime invasion segment. We were about to scrap that, too.
Oh, no, man.
So thank you so much for that.
We can't let that happen.
I just want to say that Kylo Sammy's been an actual pleasure. You're welcome back anytime.
Exactly.
Anytime, okay? Anytime. Thank you so much. Okay, and with that being said, it's a wrap. Juancho!
Remember, guys, geeking out never sounded so good.
Keeping up with the Geek Bros.